At a time when small businesses across sectors are facing the brunt of the pandemic in India, homegrown Mensa brands seem to be gearing up to their rescue. Built upon a Thrasio-like model, Mensa plans to partner and invest in digital-first brands and scale them up exponentially. Founded by serial entrepreneur Anant Narayanan, the company also just raised a massive $50 million in its first round of funding, of which a major chunk will be used to fund these acquisitions. Hello, this is Priyanka Sahai along with Sriram Mani from Money Control to discuss not just the potential for Thrasio-like model in India, but the entire journey of Anant Narayanan from McKinsey to Myntra to MedLife and to now Mensa. Hi Anant, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So Anant, a career spanning for over two decades, how does it feel now to build something completely from scratch? What are the risks you think involved there?
Firstly, by the way, thank you again for having me the second time in the show. I can't tell you how excited I am. I think one of the things that's been a constant for me over the years is just learning and putting yourself in different contexts. And I think that's how one professionally grows and learns. So very excited about this opportunity. I don't think of this as risks. Otherwise, you wouldn't start a business. I think of this as a massive opportunity to take brands from India, digital first brands from India, and grow them, not just in India, but even globally. And thereby create lots and lots of impact and lots of value for the ecosystem. So that's what excites me. And that's what I'm looking forward to in this journey. And the second thing I would tell you is, Priyanka and Sriram, the journey is never alone. I'm very fortunate to be joined by an outstanding set of people who are coming together as part of the founding team.
How does it feel to build something which is, this time, it's completely, you are setting this business up. In the past, while you've played very, very crucial roles across multiple organizations, you've been prominently in operational capacities, been associated with that. You've been CEOs of these organizations. But this is for the first time that you founded this company from scratch.
Right.
So how is that different?
Yeah, so I would say it's different in some ways and not different in others. I think having an owner mindset is quite critical in any startup to be successful. So if I take a Myntra example, Mukesh founded it, Sachin and Bini were, of course, the founders of Flipkart. But I always, when I joined, one of the things, the advice that I got was, you know, you have to treat yourself and think of yourself as a founder, independent of equity ownership. And that's how I sort of thought about Myntra itself. In MedLife, as you know, Priyanka, I actually invested money. So it was more founder-like. And in this case, of course, it's my baby. I'll tell you a bit of the differences. One is, I think you can set the right strategic direction from the very beginning in terms of what you choose to do and where you play. And I think that's a very important choice that you make as a founder, because that defines the business for the next 5 to 10 years. The second is, culture is very important to me, and getting the right set of people and building the right culture is really what makes great organizations. It's something that I believed in from my McKinsey days. And here you have an opportunity to set the right culture, get the right values. For example, being fair and founder friendly for us is a value. Being a meritocracy is a value. So you're able to sort of attract outstanding talent, and you're able to build a culture that we feel very, very good about. So that's the second thing that's very different. And the third thing, of course, which goes without saying, is you have a lot more responsibility. You are a custodian of two things. You're a custodian of the capital that comes in through investors, and you have to make sure the investors get a terrific return. You're a custodian of the brands that you bought from these entrepreneurs, and you have to make sure that they are genuinely household names, and you're a trustee of the brand, right? So you feel a lot of responsibility towards the entire ecosystem, the investors, of course, the brands and the founders of those brands, and the team itself, right? So balancing these three out is quite important for me. And that's what makes this exciting and different from the earlier ones.
You're calling this Mensa a house of brands. Why did you really choose to start up in this segment? This is something which is still alien in the India market. Can you elaborate a bit on that?
Absolutely. Always been a believer in brands. I think there are three things that are happening in India. The first is, I think e-commerce and sales through online channels will continue to grow for the next 10 years at 30-35% year on year. Second, as India becomes more prosperous and content becomes more available, Indians are moving from unbranded to branded in almost every segment. Third, I fundamentally believe the skills it takes to scale a digital brand are something that's relatively new. So with all of these, I think the thought is, we felt it was the absolute right time to actually get into the brand space and see if we can partner with the right founders and scale and grow the brands. So we felt like the timing was right in terms of, it's an inflection point with COVID, with improved digital sales, with more brand focus. Second, a lot of brand founders were feeling that they needed the help, the capital, and all the rest to scale. And third is we felt like we had the right set of capabilities and it was an opportunity to do this for India, from India, for the globe.
And any prediction on how big is the market? What size is it expected to grow in the coming couple of months?
Yeah, so I would say, by the way, the market is quite large. So if you look at the brands we are looking for, we're looking at it across multiple segments. We're looking at home, we're looking at personal care, we're looking at beauty, we're looking at apparel. You just take these three, there are north of 4,000 brands in the 10 to 70 crore range in India today. And I think that's a large opportunity in itself. And this 4,000 will become closer to 12,000 in 4 years. And we're trying to, as I was telling you earlier, acquire 50 brands, right? So it's a very large opportunity pool. Second is, last year, about $1.5 billion was exported from India by India sellers to North America primarily, to the US primarily. That's growing at a very, very fast clip. And I think is expected to reach 10 billion in the next 4 years. So that's also a very large opportunity. I feel it's a big, big market to go after.
So Anand, so when we talk about the Thrasio model, are you going to just sort of do a proper copy paste in terms of how the e-commerce environment is in India? Or do you think there will be a need for local adoption? Anecdotally, I don't think that too many, you know, fashion brands are there in Thrasio in the US, especially in a sector like retail. And so how big will that be in India?
Great question. I think let me answer it in two parts. The first is, by the way, India will always be a multi-platform market. The US is primarily an Amazon market. Amazon plus D2C. Here we'll always be multi-platform across Flipkart, Amazon, Myntra, Nykaa, AJIO, and many others, right? As well as their own D2C side. Therefore, as you build your product and you build your technology tools, it's important to be platform neutral and it's important to be able to go across all of these platforms. So I think that's one very big difference between models in the US and what we have to build here from a company standpoint. The second big difference is the entrepreneurs in India, I think, are attached to brands. It's not like, you know, you're just selling the brand and leaving it. It's not a very sort of transactional mindset. And I think, therefore, the operating and the financial model has to be a lot more around partnership with terrific founders than to say, look, I'll buy you and goodbye. I don't think that works. So the way we are structuring all of our deals is founders typically stay with us between 2 and 4 years, and they also get to participate in the upside of the growth of their brands, right? Which I think is very different. Third is, I think you picked another one, Sriram, on the choice of categories. I'll give you a couple of different answers on the choice of categories. In India, there's a unique opportunity because we're a sourcing hub to create brands that go global, which is very different than any of the models anywhere in the West. So as you build out a brand, I don't think of ourselves as a Thrasio model. I think of ourselves as a technology-led house of brands. And therefore, my belief is one big difference and one big muscle to be built is how do you take some of these brands global? And we have the opportunity to, which I think is not available anywhere else. The second is, I think you touched upon categories. Now, I think given what I told you about the founders continuing to stay on, it's not just a buy and transact and close. We have the ability here to actually go after real brands, not just categories. And what do I mean by that? There are some categories where it's primarily a search category, right? So if you're going to buy garden tools, you will basically search for garden tools. You're likely not going to look for a brand. And then what will come up, what you're buying essentially are reviews, rating, and a sourcing ability. If you're buying, for example, a personal care or a beauty brand, then the name of the brand actually matters because people come and search for a particular brand. I think in India, both of these models will work. And we're going after both. That's why the range of products, right? And what does that mean? Therefore, you need to be able to understand both brand building in terms of quantitative and qualitative metrics and be able to scale that. And second, you also need to have the right data and analytics to be able to pick the right categories and the right sourcing. So I think there are lots of differences. So I don't think of ourselves as a Thrasio of India. I think of ourselves as Mensa of India, which is a technology-led house of brands. And we want to sort of build this into a large global play.
Anand, one more thing. Can you give me a little context on your time at MedLife? It's very interesting because you came at a time when, you know, their growth was just beginning to explode. And, you know, from what I understand, the ultimate objective obviously wouldn't have been to sell a company. You know, you would have wanted it to build it to a large company. Of course, the sale itself was, you know, good for both companies at the end. What was the experience like for you for running it, what eventually was not a very long period of time? And, you know, what did you take away from that?
Look, in every industry where you have multiple players, there is always an opportunity for consolidation, right? Mm-hmm. And consolidation creates value. It creates value because of many things. It creates value because capital then flows to the market leader. It creates value because you become the primary choice for customers and therefore you're able to reduce subsidy. You're able to reduce the cost of customer acquisition. By the way, that's happened, right? Myntra got bought by Flipkart. Jabon got bought by Myntra. And I think there was a lot of value created. So I think in a startup ecosystem where it's a marketplace and where there are multiple players doing very similar things, and there is a network effect, which is an important aspect. So for example, if you're building brands, you can have multiple large players building brands because you're not, it's not a winner takes all market. However, in a network play, network effects start to play, right? Which is a lot of traffic needs to go towards one platform. And therefore, the money you need to spend towards it becomes higher and higher. Therefore, we thought it was the right strategic thing to do. We are incredibly happy and we're incredibly excited about the transaction with Farmeasy. I think Farmeasy has an outstanding set of founders led by Siddharth and an outstanding set of investors. And so for Prashant, Tushar and I, it was actually an opportunity to say, how do we actually combine forces so that you create a clear market leader? And the benefit for us, of course, is we obviously, it was a good financial transaction and so on. But also, by the way, it's a great way to land your customers and your employees into a larger organization. For the broader Farmeasy guys, it was an opportunity to establish clear market leadership and therefore the ability to get a lot of talent and capital in, right? So it was a win-win for both. And I think a lot of times the advice that I give to startup guys is knowing when to sell and when to consolidate is actually as important as knowing when to start. So I actually feel very good about the entire experience and transaction.
Also, Anant, you know, the fact that consolidations in general or exits in general have been far and few in the Indian market. And with the example of the current consolidation that the market has witnessed, it's only going to, you know, open rooms for more such developments in the market. And I'm sure the market will increase its appetite for the same. But on that note, and going a little back on the whole model that, Mensa is building currently,
absolutely.
I would love like to ask you, why do you want to restrict yourself only to home apparel, personal care and beauty? Is it that you just want to play safe and remain in areas wherein there are high margin items to be purchased instead of getting into categories such as maybe grocery, maybe electronics, maybe, you know, gadgets, which are high usage categories in India?
I think we apply two filters as we think about what categories to go after. And the short answer, Priyanka, is never say never, right, into other categories. But the reason we pick these categories first is we believe they have high growth. They have high customer stickiness, given that they're brands and there's frequency and all of the rest. And third is they have high gross margins. Therefore, you can build large and profitable brands out of them. I think these are the three criteria we used as we started to select what were the categories that we wanted to initially focus on. Now, are there other large categories? Of course there are. Packaged food is a large one. Grocery is a large one. Electronics is a large one. But, you know, as a startup, we're a two-month-old startup. It may not seem like it, but we're a Series A startup. So I think this is the focus for the first couple of years, and then we'll see where it evolves.
For as we speak, these are the categories. Now, to what extent your expertise with a lifestyle brand like Myntra will help you shape up the future of Mensa? You know, we are all very excited to know. You've been at the helm of lifestyle for so many years. These categories, whether it is apparel, whether it is personal care, whether it is beauty, whether it is home, it's all to do with, I would say, lifestyle to a large extent. So how do you think that your expertise is going to take the brand a notch ahead?
So firstly, it's not my expertise. It's the team. I'm one individual in the group of people that we're putting together. The combined expertise of the team, of course, is fantastic, which is what we're trying to build. I would say, by the way, look, independent of the category, some skills are common, right? Which is, if you think about demand generation, digital marketing, how to do growth hacking, that's a common sort of skill independent of the category. Second, which is a common skill, is how do you think about pricing and discounting in a scientific manner, right, in the digital world? Third is, how do you actually think about branding, right, with new content, short-form content videos that are coming in, and many of these, how do you sort of think about branding in a different manner? So I think all of these are cross skills that go across categories. And by the way, that's on the demand side, right? Same thing on the supply side. How do you do inventory management and replication so that speed of delivery goes up, right, without your working capital going up? So what we intend to do in Mensa is to build a lot of product technology and operating expertise in each of these areas, which is really, by the way, why brands come to us. Brands come to us, of course, because of some amount of exit and capital and all that. But why do brands choose us? Brands choose us because they believe that we are operators and we can add more value to the brand than what they would have done on their own. And therefore, the growth rates would be better.
Anant, when you're also talking about acquiring brands, these are also, again, companies and small startups that come up with their own culture. And when your business model is built around acquisitions, have you thought about the cultural challenges that you come across, having to integrate all of them into your company culture and, you know, spreading that? How would you tackle that?
Yeah, I don't think, Sriram, there is an easy answer to it. I think, look, you have to be clear about what expertise each person brings. In a lot of the cases, when we buy brands, what they bring to the table is sourcing design expertise around the actual physical product, right? What we bring is technology, digital marketing, some level of operational excellence. So it's usually complementary in terms of skills. The second is, as we look for the right brands, one of the things we do assess is the quality of the founder and whether the founder is somebody that we want to work constantly day in and day out with. So to that extent, the brands that we're selecting are brands that we are people that we want to work with. Second is to have an aligned set of goals and an aligned set of values that I think are important. And the aligned set of goals happens even before we buy. And the aligned set of values will hopefully happen within the first 3 to 6 months. If you speak to founders, why do founders come to us over venture capital? By the way, and the answer may vary by founder, but the founders who are excited about working with us have the following things. The first is they actually get a financial exit. When you get an investor from outside, you don't get a real financial exit. You may get a valuation, but you don't get a cash exit because that cash exit comes 7 years or 10 years later. The second, whereas here you get upfront money. Second, most founders want to see their brands become household names. They realize some of the limitations around capabilities of what it takes to build a brand from 10 crores to 100 crores or 20 crores to 200 crores, and therefore are looking for operational experience and expertise to help them. And when they meet us as a team, they believe that we have the ability and the passion to build their brand into a national brand and a global brand. And they want to see that happen. Third is, like I told you, for us, one thing that matters is to be very founder-friendly, right? So that's why I keep using the word partnership. And they think that we can genuinely be partners to them. And they will be treated with the right respect as a partner would be. And as an entrepreneur and a fellow entrepreneur, we know how difficult it is to do it, right? So we're operators and entrepreneurs. We're not investors. And therefore, I think they feel a real kinship towards working with us. So I think those are the reasons why people come to us. And we've had a fair amount of success in the last couple of months with many, many founders.
You've raised a massive $50 million for a Series A round, which is, a very, very young stage, and the amount of funding you've raised is massive. Do you think investors in India are more comfortable writing bigger checks in companies owned by people who have built something in the past or people who are well known in the industry? Do you think people take precedence over business model in India?
I think, I'm not an investor. I feel incredibly fortunate that Axel with Subrata, Falcon with Navroz, and Niren with Norwest have taken the plunge to work with us. And I hold them in very, very high regard, not just as investors, but people who can actually help along the journey, right? So I think that's point one that I wanted to make. I think in investing, by the way, the person matters always. I think when you make an investment, you're not going to control the company or run the company. You're betting on the person to run the company. So I would suspect that for investors, the entrepreneur always makes a difference. Of course, along with that, you need a business model. But remember, in most startups, the business model evolves over time because you're trying to figure out how to solve the problem. In terms of the fundraise, look, we're fortunate to have started and I think we have a good start. But I don't think this is about capital, Priyanka and Sriram. I think this is all about execution. It is about picking correctly in terms of the brands. And it is about scaling the brands. It's not about the fundraise. It's about execution. And that's really what at least all of us at Mensa are focused on. We want to sort of get to the right founders, get to the right partners, and then be able to really sort of turbocharge the growth without impacting profitability. I think that's why we're spending 90% of the time.
In the last few months, we are seeing that debt is becoming an important component in the way companies raise funding. Now, as we are speaking, what is the growing use case for venture debts in a business like yours? We've seen it happen in hospitality. We've seen it happen in fintech.
We're buying profitable EBITDA-making businesses. Therefore, debt can actually be used for working capital and growth. And I think, therefore, it's important. And I think, by the way, for founders, the debt with the right business model allows you to actually dilute much less of your business.
Right.
So that's what debt is used for. So given that we're buying profitable high-growth businesses, and the high growth businesses are going to continue to need more working capital. So debt will be continue to be used for that.
7 to 70 crore is what the target is. Last we discussed, Anant, the aspiration that you have built for the acquisitions Mensa will be making. Could there be an exception given the market is full of innovation and full of companies that are out there building good brands? Do you think there will be any exception? Do you think that you would look at acquiring maybe even a larger or a smaller brand?
Absolutely. I think we'd be open to it. If it's a smaller brand and higher growth, then we'd certainly look at it. It's less to sort of satisfy the profitability requirement, but if it's growing very fast, then we would certainly consider it and look at it. You know, and the one thing that I would say is I think we're still looking at digital first brands, right? So I think they need to have most of their revenues come online, independent of anything else. And the third is, look, if there are larger brands that are interesting for us and we still believe there is a lot of growth potential, for sure we'd consider it.
Great. And on that note, Anant, I would really like to thank you for taking time out for us.
You're very welcome.
So that's all that we have for this episode of Setting Sail. Meanwhile, if you have any comments or queries, you can write down to us. Our email is mcpodcast@nw18.com. You can also follow us on Twitter with our user IDs @moneycontrolcom, @PriyankaSahai and moneycontrol2020. Till then, for more news, views and updates, stay logged on to moneycontrol.com.